John chapter 1, verse 1. It reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." So we see then that in the beginning, that Jesus Christ, which we see here as the Word, was with God. So we know that in the beginning, these two great beings have always agreed with each other. And Jesus Christ have always been obedient to the Father. And as we live in the end time, it is God's desire that humanity would heed the warnings that is so clear in showing the end time is at our very doorsteps. So let's notice a passage of Scripture found in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I want to begin reading in verse 26. Christ says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so," verse 30, "will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back." But notice what verse 32 says. Christ said, "Remember Lot's wife." As Jesus was teaching, he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. So he explained to them the condition that the world would be in at his return. And he gave examples of the flood in Noah's days, and also an example of destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Lot's days. So why would Jesus want us to remember Lot's wife? What about the life of Lot that we can apply to this end time society? And what lessons are we to learn from her lifestyle? These words spoken of by our Savior, Jesus Christ, here in Luke chapter 17, are admonitions to his disciples about how they should react to the conditions that will exist just before the second coming of Christ. Though all these disciples are dead at this time, this message is still for us today. So I want to title the sermon today, "Living a Life of Obedience." Living a Life of Obedience. One of the most deadly perils for God's people in the last days, because of the lack of obedience, will be that some will slowly slip away from the truth of God. And that statement within itself runs chills up our backs. Notice the prophecy that Jesus himself gave on this in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we will read verse 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So in the days to come, Jesus saw that two dangers will threaten the church. One would be the danger of false leaders. False leaders are those who seek and induce their own versions of truth rather than the truth that comes from God. And are those who try to attack others with their ideas rather than the ideas that comes from God. So the consequences from all of this is deception, and if possibly to lead astray the very elect. The second danger is that of discouragement. There are those who love will grow cold because of increasing lawlessness of the world. And as the pressure of conformity crowd in, their faith will gradually erode and finally disappear. So how can we explain this slacking of spiritual power? As we look at Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Verse 32 of Acts chapter 5, and we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So we have the obedience involved here, and it shows that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to those who obey God. So it is through the Holy Spirit that we are able to walk in obedience with God. God guides and empowers us in this great pilgrimage by his Holy Spirit. But by obedience, following God's commands is the way we begin to experience and grow. So what does Jesus want us to remember from Luke chapter 17 and verse 32? So when Christ said, remember Lot's wife, there are many things we can learn from the lifestyle of Lot's wife. But the main point we want to draw from comes from just one word, and that one word is obedience. You know, as we look at this society, that's a big problem with society today, is wanting to be obedient. We have part of our society that wants to do their thing. Even in law enforcement, they don't want to obey the laws of our land. And, you know, Christ said we should do that. We should obey the laws of our land. But this society does not want to do that. We all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah from reading Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19. and what happened there. We all have that knowledge. The sins in these two cities had grown so violently that God sent two angels to investigate the complaints that had come up before him. And I wondered, well, what did this mean when the complaints come up before him? Well, the scriptures talk about, you know, God sending his angels out throughout the world to view things. And they report back to him what goes on, I'm sure. So he knew. God knew the situation in Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's go to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 19, begin reading in verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally." So Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Step back, stand back." Then they said, "This one came to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. We will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Now these men that reached out and pulled Lot in was the two angels inside the house. In verse 11, "And they struck the men who were at the door with blindness, both small and great, so they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, 'Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it.'" So there's several questions that come to mind, and the scriptures are not clear on this, and we just have to ponder about it. But we wonder, why would Lot settle in a city of this character? Well, there's some reasons there. This was a port city. Sodom was a port city, and there's a lot of trade going on. And it may be that Lot thought that he could change that society in some way. I don't know. That's just pondering thoughts, because the scriptures doesn't say. But here, here we have Lot there in a city in the midst of sodomites, a homosexual type lifestyle. But, you know, God will deliver him from this. And this says a lot spiritually to us, that we can be delivered from the things in life that is against the will of God. So in verse 17, we'll continue. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. Verse 25, so he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So we see here from verse 26 that Lot's wife ended here by disobeying God. Lot's wife still desired the lifestyle that she had, and it was apparently that she did not want to give that lifestyle up. It was hard to give up the things that the world was offering that satisfy her desire. And we have the same situation, brethren, that those that God has called, he has called us for a purpose to be a shining light. And we should walk in obedience to God every day, that others can see God through us. Lot's family was warned as they fled the cities that God was about to destroy, not to look behind. And is saying to us, don't desire the sinful things of this society. But Lot's wife was not obedient to God's command. You know, obedience is a lot of things that has happened, brethren. There's a lot of people have lost their life because of disobedience. And we think about even going back as far as disobedience with the angels. They were disobedient to God. And then we come down to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve was disobedient to God. So in turn, it created sin upon mankind. And then Jesus Christ willingly gave his life to rescue us from eternal death, all because of disobedience that came upon mankind, and sin was brought in to the world. You know, in the scriptures we read about Noah, all because of disobedience of that society. They did not want to turn. They enjoyed the lifestyle that they had. And then they realized, you know, we're doing the wrong thing. And they approached the ark, pounding on the door, please let me in. Well, all the years that Noah preached righteousness, they did not heed. And so the time caught up with them. And I'm saying this today, that we need to listen to what God is telling us. Because the end time, just like the end time for Sodom and Gomorrah, came suddenly. It wasn't, you know, I'm sure that when we look at Lot, she was in the midst of Abraham and Lot's Lot was in the midst of Abraham, and Lot's wife was in the midst of Abraham, and Lot as well. And the Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. So I'm sure Lot's wife learned some very important spiritual lessons from those two men. But she did not heed those lessons and decided to take on the lifestyle of Sodom because that was the lifestyle that she enjoyed. So it cost her life. So we have spent many years in the church, a lot of us. We have heard many sermons. And we're hoping, brethren, that we will apply these things to our life and not allow this society to have any part of us in enticing us to go that way. It is the lifestyle that is obedient to God that separates us from the world and provide the proof of one's conversion. If the Christian has repented and cleared himself before God and obedient to God, he no longer belongs to the world. Let's notice 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, beginning reading in verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. So notice the message here. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. So it's a serious time. It's a serious time that we are living in. God places great urgency on the end time we are living in now. So, brethren, our society is certainly similar to the society in the time of Lot. And we have a clear warning from God as to what we must do. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So we can't hide things from God. And God knows exactly what is going on. He knows exactly what we are doing. And throughout the scriptures, God gives warning to those he has called to not be a part of this world and its deceptive society. Christians are told to flee this type of environment. But for some, they want to hang on for a little while longer. But God is saying to all of us here today, brethren, to not to be partakers of this evil society. This society is a type of Babylon that God will eventually destroy. Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. So Christians are not to be conformed to this world, but are transformed from the world. It is not a question of retiring from the world. It is a question of living within the world, but not being a part of the world. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We will read verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So we grow. We grow in obedience by promptly responding to obedience. Now, when we read something, or if we hear something in a sermon or some other information that we know that comes from God's Word, we grow from that if we obey that and not just push it aside. Because eventually it will fade, and we will fade from our memory, and we will not act upon what we have heard. God takes obedience very serious. The choice he gave to the nation of Israel, he gives to us. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we will begin reading in verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. God says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Verse 16, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So, brethren, God is urging us to make serious, deliberate choices to propel us toward the conclusion of his purpose for us here on earth. He requires us to commit and to make decision in choosing an obedience lifestyle toward his ways. And these issues are clearly defined. Obedience and disobedience. Life, death, good, evil. God has set before us the choice to obey or disobey. And his hope is that we will all be obedient. God has given man the power to make choices regarding the ultimate destiny. As a free moral agent, man has the awesome responsibility to choose between eternal death because of continuing disobedience or a rich and rewarding eternity as an obedient member of God's family. One that is seeking to be obedient to God should develop the attitude that is filled with humility. We find in God's word that humility, we must want to obey God. And with this attitude, we will be seeking each day of our life to overcome this type of attitude that carries us in the wrong direction. But let's notice an attitude that we should seek. In Psalm 119, we will begin reading in verse 10 of Psalm 119. The psalmist says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." Psalm 119, verse 11. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you." See, here's the attitude that you don't want to. I mean, you don't want to sin. So this is an attitude that you built up that he's saying he wants to hide, you know, in his heart, that he may not sin against God. In verse 30, he says, "I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in them. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and receive me in your way." So we grow more profoundly if we study God's word as it is written for us as, you know, individually to understand. And we know that we grow in studying God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, more emphasis is put on reading and studying the scriptures, asking God to give us understanding. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger." He's speaking of Israel here. "And fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers know, that it might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." So when we go, when we read and study the scriptures, and when we get these words in our mind, then we will obey. We'll have a more desire to obey God. We know about God, the greater desire to be obedient he loves. Ignorance begets irreverence. That in turn begets disobedience. Truth believed begets reverence. That in turn begets obedience. And Christ said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, satisfy them by your truth. Your word is truth. So God's word is pure as well. Notice Psalm 12. Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure. Words like silver, tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. So God's word gives us hope. It gives us faith. It gives us true understanding of life and our purpose for which we were created. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 16. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. So what is this verse saying to us here? It is saying that when society has become satisfied, have no desire for repentance, they will rest in the assembly of the dead. So we see that a person who wanders from the way of understanding, in other words, from the way of truth, makes no conscious effort to get back on track, no effort to repent, that person is drifting with the current. And the current, the Bible consistently shows that those who do not consciously and purposefully direct their lives toward obedience to God, in reality love death rather than life. So Christ came to give us life. He gives us a way we are to follow. He expects that we make the effort to do so. So if we neglect it, can we say that we are really following his ways? So it's fair to say, brethren, from God's point of view, that those who are just out there drifting along the way and making no effort to change, those people love death rather than life. But God, you know, God does, he loves us, and brethren, as you know, and he doesn't want us to drift along in life with no purpose to fulfill our calling. But remember, obedience brings blessings. So when we go back to Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, we ask, what spiritual lessons did Christ intend for us to learn from the wife of Lot? And this is a solemn warning from Christ himself. You notice when Christ said, remember Lot's wife. He did not say, remember Moses, Sarah, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, David. He only said, Lot's wife. And it was though as Jesus was revealing something to us about Lot's wife that was so important that he did not want us to ever forget it. And it's just like the commandment, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. He doesn't want us to forget that. That's why he put the emphasis on it, to remember the Sabbath day. So the emphasis here is on remembering Lot's wife. And it comes to us in the way of a warning. We must consider the subject that Jesus is addressing here. He is speaking of the second coming to judge the world. He's describing the very times we are living in now. So the times of Sodom and Gomorrah was and the disobedience of Lot's wife is a society that we are living in now. The world is living in a state of unpreparedness, living in a state of disobedience with no desire to change. But this is what God is saying to each one of us here today, brethren. In 1 John chapter 2, it's plain, and we all can understand it. 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 15. It said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So God said, do not love the world or the things in it. God is talking about, he's not talking about the beautiful things that he has created, the flowers, the trees, the birds, all of those things in creation. No, he's talking about the world's system. This is our chance now. You know, this is our chance now. God has called us, and those whom God has called are being judged now. We have the truth of God. And there is no excuse. And it's time that we should be serious about living and being obedient toward God. I'll just read this verse again. I read it earlier, but 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. You don't have to turn there. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And let's notice also in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one, verse 18, is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" So coming out of this world and its system is one of the things God wants us to learn. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, begin reading in verse 6. "And turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." So the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Lot's wife. But what we do know, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 7, that Lot was a righteous man. We could say that Mrs. Lot had a righteous husband. She had Abraham, the father of the faithful, for her uncle by marriage. So the faith of the knowledge and prayers that they too she too heard from these men. It seems to be impossible that she would have dwelt in tents with them without learning some of God's ways. And I know she heard Abraham when he received the promise that God made to him, and to leave his location. And yet, what effect did all of these privileges of hearing the warnings and the message that never moved her toward obedience? You would think she would have taken in some of the understanding that she gathered from listening to these two men, Lot and Abraham. But the eyes of her understanding was never opened. Her conscience was never really aroused and quickened. Her will was never brought into a state of obedience towards God. She did as others did. Her affections were never set on things above. The world was in her heart, and her heart was in the world. The obedience to God's command would have saved her life. So what is God saying to us today about Lot's wife? God is saying, don't neglect the privilege that we have to be obedient to God. Number one, I've said before, let's not waste time, brethren. We don't have time to waste. When we look back from where God has delivered us from and desire that same lifestyle of sin, this tells us that we do not want to live God's way. But we should press forward. So why Lot's wife, why did she look back? Well, the Bible doesn't specifically give a reason. But there are two main points to remember. Number one, she had more life. She had more love for the world and this lifestyle than living God's way. Number two, there was a greater desire to remain in doing the things she most enjoyed. A love for God was not a part of her life. So for the final scripture, we turn to Luke chapter 9. What this scripture is saying to us, brethren, we should go forward, not backward. Backwards, but go forward. And Christ said, Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Christ said, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, brethren, God has called us to a lifestyle of obedience, ever moving forward toward the kingdom of God. Let's take this opportunity that we have now to be obedient to God.